gotcha.
Okay. Let's see if we got it.
It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. Our guest today is Dr. Tori Smith. Dr. Smith is a naturopathic physician who is fabulous and knows more about medicine than about anybody I know. I hope I'm not exaggerated, really, Tori. You're fabulous. Anyways, Dr. Smith practices in Anchorage. Dr. Smith, are you practicing at Avante Medical Center currently, or you've moved to a new location?
A new location.
Where are you practicing?
I'm practicing at 505 West Northern Lights Boulevard in Anchorage. And I have, it's in a building, but I have my own standalone clinic here.
Excellent. And Dr. Smith really is an expert at solving complicated problems. He's a doctor's doctor, and it's a delight having you on the show today. Welcome to Health Talk.
Well, thanks, Scott. You're continually an inspiration to me, so this is always a pleasure to when we get a chance to swap some medical stories.
Yeah, I know. We run the risk of talking shop today when you guys get together, and I'm sure there's going to be some of that, but I'm going to do my best to keep it understandable. And really, the purpose of the show today is to talk about things that are often overlooked. You know, as people go through life, they're trying to figure out how to live well and how to feel good, and then they go to the doctor, and the doctor runs tests, and a lot of times they can't figure out what the heck is going on. So you and I both run things test-wise that other doctors tend not to because we're looking for common problems. So let's go ahead and talk about some of those things today. So Dr. Smith, go ahead. I can start one or you can start one. Give me your thoughts about what tests you run that are often not run or overlooked.
Well, one test is ferritin levels. And they used to be run a lot more often. Doctors oftentimes didn't know what to do with the level. Ferritin is a form of how the body stores iron. And yet, years ago, in the 90s, we could just add a ferritin onto the chem screen, the normal thing, and LabCorp would just run it, no charge, because we would run lots of them. And then doctors, a number of doctors doing Medicare, didn't understand why the ferritin was there. And Medicare said, well, why are you ordering this test? And actually, there was a doctor on TV that was defending the lawsuit of Medicare against LabCorp for just throwing these ferritin levels on. And the doctor at the end says, and who knows what ferritin's for anyway? This was their expert.
So, Dr. Smith, I run one routinely. It's a normal part of our panel. In fact, I'm thinking it's not normally added on. It is a permanent part of the panel we run because we find it to be so helpful. So tell us why it's helpful.
Level. Well, and you can chime in too because you've got a lot of insights on it too. So it's both an acute phase, what they call acute phase reactant, or can show up in chronic inflammatory diseases, both where the body ties up iron because iron's an oxidizer. And so in chronic disease, a lot of times people will end up anemic because the body is tying up all the iron to keep from damaging organs. It also, during the fever, oftentimes at the set point when the fever gets to a certain level, the body ties up the iron all at one moment, and then that crashes the population of the invader, the bacteria or the virus, and then the fever breaks. And so a lot of times people think, oh, the fever broke, that's why I feel better. So then they, you know, get in the habit of using Tylenol or something to lower the fever, but then that makes it so the body can't get to the set point to suddenly tie up the iron and starve out the invader. It also can show up when there's liver damage because when the liver is damaged, it releases its iron stores. And so then you'll see this higher elevated ferritin. But almost more common on a regular basis is where one of the four genes that govern the uptake of iron is dysfunctional. And so it collects in the body. And when the iron gets too high, or the ferritin gets too high, the brain barrier will, I believe, shut down. So then you get symptoms of iron deficiency in the brain because that iron's too high. And so it becomes a similar symptom as though the iron was low. And so ferritin is also a great one to do to see if it's low, because typically I like to see an average of about 70 in women and 110-ish in men on just a regular basis. And if it's low, then usually they're losing iron for some reason. So you go looking to see, do they need a colonoscopy? Is there bleeding in the intestines, or they're losing, or are they allergic to the dairy, casein, the protein in dairy can, for a number of people, cause chronic iron loss. And when the ferritin gets too low, then the brain gets, the dopamine center of the brain gets starved for iron, basically, and can't function properly. So the consequence of that is things like restless leg syndrome at night, where the legs, you get the jimmy legs when twilight starts happening. That's a sign of not enough iron in the brain, either from excess iron shutting the entryway down or not enough iron.
It's funny how it can go both ways.
It is. It's so interesting. There's a book I read years ago called The Reverse Effect, where too much of something is a similar symptoms, not enough of something. I had a case of a kid a few years ago. He was about 6 weeks into ninth grade, and he was getting a D in remedial math. And I knew he had a history of liking math in elementary school. Something had changed, and they had gone to the pediatrician, and they told them his iron was fine. Well, I looked, got all the records from the pediatrician, and as typical, when they're told their iron is fine or they need iron, they never did iron. They didn't do serum iron, which is how much is in there at that moment, just circulating. And they didn't do ferritin, which is the iron storage. And it's been proven that low ferritin levels can make it so it's nearly impossible to do math. And so I measured his, because they said his arm was fine because he had no anemia. But they said with authority, oh, your iron is fine. So we checked his ferritin level, and for his size, it should have been 110, and it was 7. So I got him on iron twice a day in that case. A lot of times I use an iron bisglycinate, which doesn't cause constipation, and took him off dairy because that's the number one cause of the iron deficiency anemia oftentimes. By January, they actually moved him up to honors math. By the spring, he won a prestigious math award that was on a state level. And that's the difference it made in his brain. Had another woman that her whole family has had restless legs. And so I measured her ferritin level, think it's going to be high. And it was 225, which is well within sort of the range when you look at ferritin level. But I consider that three times higher than it should have been for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I had her give blood, be a good donor, and just give blood. And immediately her restless leg completely went away. So that level was high enough to block the entry of the iron into her brain. And so then we knew whenever she needed to get blood that her restless leg would start to come back, and then she'd get blood, she'd be fine after that.
So I want to reiterate one of the things that you and I both know, but a lot of our listeners don't know, which is iron. We all think iron is necessary and healthy, and if you don't have enough iron, then you're more prone to have anemia, and that certainly is true. But iron's a two-edged sword. It is a prooxidant. It is basically, I try to think of it as a buzzsaw, microscopic buzzsaw, that if you take, and if it's not caged, then it's just going to start wrecking havoc. So it must be caged. It must be contained in a safe little box. That's what the ferritin is. The ferritin holds that iron safely so it doesn't interact with the things around it. And so iron in circulation is what's being used. It's kind of like the iron in the economy. But if the body needs to move iron around safely and it doesn't need to use it right away, what it'll do is it'll put it into ferritin as a way to move it. So one of the things that shows up first if someone is short of iron is the ferritin levels be low. It's more sensitive, in fact, than the iron levels. When patients say, well, I want to see what my iron levels are, and iron's in the normal range, and yet their ferritin is 7, they say, but look, Dr. Luber, my iron's in the normal range. I go, no. See that 7? There's not enough in the hopper, so to speak, ready to go into action. So your iron stores are actually low. Things like that. So the other thing that I want to point out is that oftentimes the iron levels will be fine and liver enzymes will be fine or maybe slightly elevated, and yet someone comes in with a ferritin of 600. I've learned from experience over time that if that's the case, they got liver problems. That's really what it is. And if you treat their liver, the ferritin levels will come down. So Dr. Smith, tell me more about that. My knowledge is practical. You got a better sense of what the mechanism is. What's the mechanism there?
Well, it could come from two different directions. One is high iron, where the body because of dysfunction in one or more of the four genes that govern iron uptake, if they have too much iron in their system, it's really hard on the organs, and so the high iron that they're bringing in could be injuring the liver. But then if they have normal uptake, but something's injuring the liver independent of that iron causing it, then you see this ferritin go up because it's spilling over from a damaged liver. So it's interesting oftentimes that when I do an iron to do the other markers for it, which you got a serum iron, so you get a sense of what's floating in the bloodstream or what's coming in, and then the ferritin, the iron storage form, and then doing a percent saturation of the red blood cell to find out if they have the optimum amount of just general iron stores in the red blood cell itself. And oftentimes with anemia of chronic disease where they have the high ferritin, they will show a low saturation, though, in their red blood cells because the body is trying to tie up this iron to keep from destroying itself.
And that's another point I want to reiterate that you made, which is fabulous, which is if you have an infection, then your body in its wisdom binds up your iron so that the organisms don't have access to it. And they need it, just like we need it. And it slows their metabolism, weakens them so that our immune system can come in and clean them out. So if you shut down that process, heaven forbid you go to the doctor and the doctor says you're low of iron, we need to give you iron, it's going to turn it around. I had a patient who was had chronic anemia. She also had poor iron absorption, but she had a chronic lung infection at the same time. And every doctor that she went to that wasn't me tried to put her on iron. And every time she'd get back to me, because she tended to shop doctors, I would always have to, I got to take you off iron again. Haven't you learned? You're going to die of the infection before they get the anemia fixed. And, you know, I take her off the iron, and sure enough, her lungs would clear up and she'd do much better. For not having the iron in her system. She was somebody who was adapted to have low iron as a way to fight the chronic infection.
Absolutely right. And you were paying attention to the nuancing of it. I had a guy years ago, 83, I think, and he felt poorly for at least 30 years. And he felt just terrible. And all his labs showed he was in almost total organ failure, and he had horrific, terrible anemia, and he showed me the prescription for iron, and they've been filling this prescription for 30 years for him to take iron, and I got his 30 years of records, and not once did they check his ferritin level to see if he actually needed the iron, and in 30 years, his CBC never got better. His anemia never got better from taking all this iron. Do you think they would have, rather than just continually writing prescription, actually think, well, maybe the treatment's not working. Well, yeah. They were killing him, basically, because his ferritin level should have been 110, and it was 2,442.
Holy moly.
And because he was anemic, there was no way to bleed that iron off.
Yeah.
The best thing that came out of it, his son had brought him in, who was 56, and I tested his ferritin level and was 750. So he inherited that gene problem that made it so that was an easier one to fix because he wasn't so far gone anemia-wise where you could have him give blood, et cetera, and avoid iron.
So if the iron levels get high enough, then people will begin to bronze. I've seen this once. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, and especially around the legs, a lot of times they'll get that bronzing from repeated infections and things, and they'll get that iron staining going on.
So too much iron is bad for you. Too little iron is bad for you. Let's talk just a teeny bit about your favorite ways to get iron into people who need it. You mentioned that earlier. I want to reiterate that. Tell us about that. How do you get iron into people? Wait. Before you answer, let me tell you that anybody listening who's had to take iron is going to groan because they're thinking, oh, yeah, I remember taking iron, and I got so constipated and felt so horrible because they gave me this thing called iron sulfate. Meh! Anything but that.
Yeah, it's a good recipe for concrete. If you want to make the bond stronger, throw some ferrosulfate into it. And it's just iron salt. And why they choose that one is always, I guess, you know, it's just the one that they prescribe, but it's the worst, yeah.
It is. People it's the worst. It. Why would they ever use it? I don't get it. Habit, I guess, or just you look in the big doctor book and it tells you that's what you use. So what do you recommend?
Right. So I recommend, first of all, finding out why they're low iron, because they're, and that's a problem, too, with people that hemochromatosis, where they can't stop storing iron. There's a whole lot of iron in our food supply, because almost all flour and flour products are enriched with iron. So people with high iron, you got to get them off the commercial flour products and get them on, if they're going to do flour types things, do an organic flour that's not enriched. The same thing, if they get an infection, you want to stop all iron, so you got to stop any iron and supplements, even if they seem to need it. You stop their iron, you get stop their iron-enriched type foods, et cetera. And also, that goes for gastrointestinal problems. If they've got diarrhea or they've got some sort of invader going on, you've got to tie that iron up because that's feeding the invader at the same time. So at babies, it's a problem because formula is enriched with iron sulfate, which causes constipation in babies.
Yeah.
And so when they've got an infection or a fever and they're doing their formula, not only does it oftentimes have just sugar in it, it's loaded with iron.
Which so, feeds the infection, yeah.
Yeah, so they need an alternative iron-free formula for those times so that they're not feeding that. So then, yeah, so you want to find out why they're deficient. So if it's a person, especially of older age, you want to make sure that they've had their colon checked out and that kind of stuff, and they're not bleeding that way.
So low stomach acid, I see. That's one of the key things I come across, especially people who've been on long-term use of PPIs, proton pump inhibitors, or some kind of acid blocker.
Yeah, that's a big problem. We could do a whole show on those.
Yeah.
Sometimes be interesting to do. So, yeah, so when there's another factor going, another big one, in my opinion, all young girls, that when they start to menstruate, should have their ferritin levels, iron and things, but especially the iron with the ferritin levels, checked. Because you get this in our society because of a lack of vitamin K, basically, causing heavy periods with clotting. The young girls are deficient in iron, which means their dopamine center can't process mass. And we're missing a huge resource of women who could be amazing at math, as you can see by the that film about the NASA, the three women who cracked the
Hidden Figures.
Hidden Figures. Oh, yeah. What a great movie on so many levels. But we're missing out on this resource. And then, of course, when they get befuddled because of their low iron, then they think they can't do math, and then they're blocked psychologically from it. So we would, as a nation, do a service of checking ferritin levels in young women. But so anyway, so finding out, you know, what they need, or the dairy allergy thing, or celiac disease, where their villi are flattened in their intestines and they don't have the way to absorb the nutrients that way, is a big deal. lack of B12, which helps the stomach to secrete the normal secretions. So not only are they, you know, people lacking B12, but because of that, they can't absorb other nutrients oftentimes. So
what's your thoughts on iron pots?
So one is, a person who's hemochromatosis, you don't want to cook anything acidic in an iron pan. Now, a well-seasoned iron pan, where if you're just frying stuff, it's probably not a big deal. But if you're cooking spaghetti sauce or acidic type things, that really sucks the iron up like crazy. So that's a problem.
So unless you need it, and then the recommendation is for you to eat spaghetti cooked in an iron pan.
Yeah, well, that's one way that, you know, people get iron, is cooking in iron pans, where, you know, to a large degree, Teflon pans can be toxic when they heat up above 550 degrees.
Well, Dr. Smith, we got to take a break. We're overdue for this break thing. So let's go ahead and take a break right now. We'll be back with more health talk here in a moment.
Sounds great.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
One in four people will have heartburn this week. One in six suffer from irritable bowel. Thousands more suffer from diseases caused by gut dysfunction and poor digestion. The good news is relief is here. I'm Dr. Scott Looper. My colleagues and I are experts in the effective treatment of gastrointestinal diseases. We are waiting to see you at White Spruce Medical. Call us to make an appointment. Located in the Steis Medical Center here in Fairbanks. Treating the core, living the cure. White Spruce Medical.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion, or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh, yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science, and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real, and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm here today with Dr. Tori Smith. Dr. Smith is a naturopathic physician who practices in Anchorage, and Dr. Smith is a font of information about often overlooked things that you can do to figure out what's going on with somebody in terms of finding out what the health problems are. So, Dr. Smith, earlier we were talking about a case of a baby who's going to be getting a surgery, and your concern was that this baby was going to end up getting brain damage, and that you have this way of keeping the baby safe for the surgery. I thought it was an interesting story. I'd like you to share it with our listeners. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a tricky thing, of course, you know, prescribing, or people just going out and trying the treatment without checking with their doctor first. But there's oftentimes with serious heart surgery, it's a few-month-old infant, they have up to a 50% chance of having residual brain damage from the surgery because of high-low oxygen levels that are occurred, and so oxidation damage that affects both the brain and the heart tissue. And even though there's all kinds of great information how to protect the brain against reperfusion injury and to protect the heart, it's just not paid attention to typically.
So let me comment on this a little bit. What's going on is the surgery is going to cause the baby to put on a heart lung machine, I assume, which is going to hopefully keep the oxygen levels adequate. But a lot of times that's not the case. The oxygen levels get low, which is actually surprisingly non-damaging. You'd think that the low oxygen would be the thing that would really hurt people. It's not. It's when the oxygen turns back on. Oxygen is dangerous to us, more dangerous than we realize. We need it, but it can damage us, and that's where the problem happens.
Boy, it's so true, Scott. I mean, accurate. So this not only applies, you know, to an infant, but it applies to anyone getting a type of surgery where blood supply and oxygen may go low at some point. Like, for instance, even in a surgery where they'll inject lidocaine or whatever, but they also inject epinephrine to shut down the capillaries to an area that they're working on, and then the epinephrine wears off, and then the blood comes back in. And like I said, it's not the low oxygen, because the cells can handle that stress. It's the wildfire of oxygen coming into an unprotected tissue that causes the damage, it causes scarring, and in the case of brain and heart, it can cause serious damage that way. And so you want to, and it's called reperfusion injury, where reperfusion, that's where the injury occurs. And so there's a number of what they call antioxidants that if you get an adequate amount in before surgery, the outcomes are just tremendously better. So things that are beneficial antioxidants to consider are some of the nutrients like lipoic acid, N-acetylcysteine, glutathione, melatonin. Those are just some of the nutrients off the bat. It turns out that magnesium also has a beneficial effect of protective tissues that way. So if you've adequately perfused and then afterwards perfusing, then very minimal damage occurs. And I've noticed with surgeries, very little scarring occurs afterwards because it's the reperfusion injury that typically causes scarring in those cases.
So one of the things I've noticed that helps with that whole system, the antioxidant system, you'd think you'd say vitamin C, and certainly vitamin C is helpful, but it's not as powerful as either the lipoic acid or the glutathione. But there's something that dovetails nicely with both of those, and that's anthocyanidins. Those are purple pigments that are in blueberries and beets and kind of, you know, purple stuff. Those tend to be very helpful. They tend to recharge the glutathione and save the lipoic acid. I don't know if there's any research on this, though, with reperfusion injuries. You know anything about that?
You know, I'd have to look into it more because the pigments are what it's about as far as anti-aging, in my opinion. And pigments are something that have been bred out of our food in this country. You know, you get an Alaskan blueberry and you one blueberry will stain your clothes forever.
True.
Purple and
those,
blue and
those Southland blueberries are like, what? They're all white on the inside. There's hardly any blue. They're
it's
sweet.
It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all smoke and mirrors. You cut a cherry open and it's whitish on the inside. You cut so many of our foods, they're all blanched out because all the pigments go to the surface. So people are attracted to it. And in my opinion, artificial pigments create a super deficiency for all that antioxidant effect that natural pigments have.
So you're telling me Skittles aren't good?
Well, you actually got an ask a dairy cow in California or in Wisconsin. And there was a tractor trailer 3 years ago that overturned went into a waterway, so it was an ecological disaster, and they were cleaning it up, and they asked the driver, where's this going to? And it was going to the dairy farms. There's a major Skittles factory in Wisconsin, and all this, the misshapen or misidentified or miscolored Skittles all went to the dairy farms for calories.
Oh, man, that's rough.
Some of that good Wisconsin cheese is Skittle bad.
Hey, Dr. Smith, we're out of time. I hate to say this. It's always so painful to end the show with you. You and I just can go on and on and on, and it's always so interesting. So I want to thank you for doing the good work you do. If somebody wants to consult with you, how do they do it?
They can give a call at 907-903-2308. My wonderful daughter Molly will answer. She's my assistant, a gift from God, and she can figure out whether they want to schedule in or not.
Okay, so this is just for those of you who just joined late. This is Dr. Torrey Smith. He's really one of the best doctors that I have ever worked with. And Torrey, you and I go way back. When I was back in medical school, I followed you around and learned everything I could from you. I was smart that way. I have to give myself credit. You're one of those people that really was a head and shoulders above everybody else. Torrey, thank you for being on the show.
Well, I think the same of you, Scott. I look forward to tapping your brain more too.
Excellent. Well, let's do another one of these here soon. If any case, we'll get together and just chat. So I want to let everybody know this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of the White Spruce Medical, located here in Fairbanks at the Steese Medical Center, where we treat the core of your problem and we help you to live the cure. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay in touch.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio, brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.